Thank you for joining us, and welcome to Crossroads. For more information, visit us online at crossroadsny.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Crossroads on this, what always seems to be the last-ditch effort to get some more sunshine in before school starts up. And as we go into another semester of school, I'm reminded of the importance that we be praying for all of our students in our church. And on Staten Island, we pray for God's covering from violence and from bullying and other things that could get in the way of a real reason why a student's at school. And so be remembering this week as school starts up to be praying for those who are educators and those who are getting ready to start school. I could always remember the nervous jitters the Sunday before school started. So be praying for our children and for those who work in the teaching profession. But today's also marks the last Sunday of our Unless series. And so take out your teaching outlines. And I want to draw your attention to what has been our key verse each week from Paul's writing to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to commit this to memory. In Romans 10, 14, this has been our theme verse for this series, the inspiration for this series. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how could they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him, and here it is, unless someone, and you want to underline that, tells them. We are God's unless to this world. We are the city of God. We are the light of the world. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ. In fact, if you are a Christian, you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you believe he paid for your sins in full on the cross, you believe that heaven is a guarantee, that the Bible is completely true, it's inerrant, and that you worship God, and you believe in the cross, and those things are fundamental in your life, and they're non-negotiables, then what should come in addition to that, you attach it to this, is that you have this desire in your life to have an unless attitude to care for others. Because the two go hand in hand. Jesus said it this way when he spoke to what is the most important focus of the Christian life. It's not the type of dress you wear, the type of car you have. It's not where you live. It's not what you eat. It's none of those things. It's love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love others as you love yourself. Those are what we need to hang our hat on. And out of that, we have an unless attitude. And over these last 9 weeks together, we've tackled some important issues, some of which I've gotten messages from you, the people, have emailed me or contacted me and said, I've been going to church for a long time. I've never heard a message on orphans in church. Interesting. You know, we've talked about widows. We've talked about justice ministry, helping those who are abused and human trafficking, those types of issues. And I believe they're all important to the heart of God. And if they're important to the heart of God, they need to be important to our heart. See, you and I have to realize something. We're never more like God than when we share God's heart and his generosity to others. You know, a lot of people write all types of books and how to have this and how to have that. At the end of the day, what you want to have is God's blessing and his approval upon your life. That's the most important thing. This morning, as I was feeding Benjamin, I flipped through the television, and I heard one of my favorite teachers, Dr. Charles Stanley. And after he wraps up his broadcast, he said, just live a life in obedience to God and leave it up to him. And that's just a great reminder for this Unless series, that we are walking in obedience when we care for others. And God will supply for our needs according to his riches in heaven. And he will replenish that which we sacrificially give over to him of our time, of our talents, and our treasures. And so I want to conclude this teaching series by talking about a very important area of concern for all of us. And that is caring enough to help the prisoner. Now, when I talk about the prisoner, I know that our mind can immediately jump to one type of prisoner, but I want to tell you about several different types of prisoners that are labeled in the scriptures and as well as around today. You'll notice these in your notes, these several types of prisoners. First of all, there's the obvious one. There are those that are criminals who have broken the law. They have broken whatever established law of that society. They've broken a legality or something that is put in place, and they've broken it. We know that when Jesus was on the cross, and it says in your notes, Luke 22, check it, Luke 23. In Luke 23, we see Jesus hanging on the cross between two criminals. One mocks him, and one ultimately puts his faith in him, and Jesus promises that he would be in heaven, he'd be in paradise with him. And so, you know, even in the scriptures, we see people who have broken the law. Those are certain types of prisoners. Secondly, there are those that are persecuted for their faith. And we're going to focus a lot on that today because a majority of the verses in scripture that talk about prisoners focus on this particular area. And what we mean by that are those that believe in Jesus Christ and they will not renounce their faith, even though they might live in a hostile nation. And that nation promises that if you do not convert, we will imprison you or we will kill you. And this has been true throughout history, and I'll chronicle some of that in our limited amount of time today, as well as what is going on today in our world. And so there are those who are persecuted for their faith, and they are in prison because of their faith in Christ. Then there are those who are falsely accused. For those of you who may not be familiar with the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories is that of Joseph, found in the very first book, the book of Genesis. You remember Joseph? He walked with God, and he did what was right in the sight of God. He even turned down sin. And for that, what did he get rewarded with? He got rewarded with a prison sentence. He was falsely accused. In the scripture, we see people who have been falsely accused, and they are put into prison, even though they do not belong there. Even Jesus, obviously, was falsely accused. He took the place of Barabbas on the cross and essentially took the place of you and I. And he was sinless. And then, one that might fly under the radar that we want to bring to everybody's attention today, found in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7, there are those that are in bondage. There are those that are in prison because of their sin struggles. And maybe that's you today. That you, right now, you might be a believer in Christ, but it's possible to still be in bondage. You're still in prison to a mindset, a behavior, an attitude, a habit. Nobody else knows it. Right now, you might think not even God knows it, but God knows it all. Our life is like an open book before God. We must realize that. And so God understands that there might be some here today that are in a prison to a sin. And you've tried to do what I used to do, you know, the reason game. You try to reason it away why we do things. But then after a while, we realize that that doesn't carry much water. And then we go through these cycles of wanting to stop and this and that. At the end of the day, we're in shackles. And if you've come to church today, you're thinking, well, after he said that, I got to leave. On the contrary, you got to stay right where you are. You're in the right place. Church is not a place for perfect people. If that was the case, it would be more emptier than a Sunday before Labor Day. I'm just kidding. The truth of the matter is that God wants you and I in his house, warts and all, shackles and all, because he's the only one that can break those shackles. And so there are different types of prisoners that are labeled in Scripture. And you need to understand something before we go any further. God cares for them all. He cares for them all. And no one is too far from God. Now, you'll notice here some misconceptions about caring for prisoners. As I stand here today, I have counseled and I know people personally who have been victimized by others, meaning that a criminal has taken the life of a family member. Are we saying today that that person should come to Christ and they should be let out of prison? Absolutely not. You do the crime, you got to do the time. That's life. There are consequences for sin. We need to understand that. Because sin is not talked about enough in our culture today in the higher halls of church, we've lost all conception of it. There is a penalty for sin, eternally speaking, which Christ paid for in full on the cross. If you and I sin in this life, if I go down the Gap right now because I want to buy a new pair of sunglasses, and I steal the glasses and the alarm goes off and the cops come and I say to the cop, Well, I've already asked God for forgiveness. Can't I just get off the hook? Well, they might not only book me, they might take me to get evaluated mentally after I said something like that. Truth of the matter is, there's consequences for the things we do. So in no way does a call to the gospel for somebody who's broken the law mean that we need to eradicate somebody's sentence. They need to do the time for the crime that's been committed. But here are some common misconceptions. Prisoners of perpetration, those who have committed crimes, are not receptive to godly help. That is a misconception. Now, there's always going to be people who shun the gospel. We realize that. But I have found, being someone who has gone on the inside and who has preached in prisons and have sat in cells with criminals, that it's in those times that people are actually very open to the gospel because of the situation that they are in. Now, regardless of whatever crime that they have committed, some are fakes and phonies and they just want to latch on to something or someone, but some have legitimately reached the end of their rope and they're ready to repent, one of the key components in coming to Christ. So that's a misconception. That's why it's very important to have a ministry to those who are either on the inside or those who come out and need to transition. Some of you have done time and you came to know Christ in prison. And after you came out, you have a totally different life than before you went in. And I think that's a testimony to God's transforming grace. But in no way are we saying, oh, let's let everybody off the hook. No, God is a God of justice. We have to realize that. We have to realize that. And God knows people's hearts. There's lots of people who profess Christ, whether they're in jail or not, who really don't know Christ. We have to understand that. Secondly, switching gears to where a lot of our focus will be and a lot of the Scripture's focus is on prisoners, prisoners of persecution cannot be impacted by my help. What am I going to do? I'm all the way in comfortable Staten Island. How am I going to help somebody who's in a prison in Northern Korea for the cause of the gospel? How am I going to help someone who is in prison or who's being tortured in Iraq from ISIS? How am I going to help them? I'm going to share with you tangible ways we can help people throughout this message, especially on the back end. We need not to be misinformed. We can indeed help people who are being persecuted. And as well, we can help ourselves to wake up and smell the coffee and realize how much of a blessing we have in America right now to worship freely. How much of a blessing it is for you to get in your car, to get on the train, to get on the bus, to come in to this high, busy area of Newdorp Lane and to come and to worship Almighty God. What a blessing that is for you and I, and we should soak it up as if we were at our favorite restaurant, and whatever every course that comes out, every taste that comes through our taste buds, soak it up. Or if you're on a vacation somewhere on a beach, soak up the blessings you have in your Christian freedom. Thank God for men and women who have preserved our freedom, and glory be to God for those who have died for the cause of Christ and who have made it possible for the gospel to go as far as it has. Now, the Scripture also documents God's care for prisoners, His concern for it. Now, as I get ready to read these, I understand what a lot of us go through in our heart. God, what do you want me to do in my life? Or God, what's your will for this area? Or God, how do I do this? And God, how do I do that? Now, listen now. Again, you need to understand, I need to understand what is close to the heart of God. And as we understand what is close to the heart of God, it draws us closer to Him. In fact, there's a scripture that says repeatedly, draw close to God, and guess what? He'll draw close to you. Let's draw close to God and see what's on the heart of God. And what's interesting, much like orphans and widows and the poor and so forth and on these last 9 weeks together, prisoners are close to the heart of God. Look what it says in Psalm 69:33. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise His own people who are in prisons. What is Psalm 69 speaking of? Those Jewish believers who have been imprisoned by those who worship false gods and those who are perhaps either invading certain nations where the Jews were or their own pagan nations, and they have falsely imprisoned believers in Almighty God. And God says He hears the needs of these people. Secondly, Matthew 25, 36, Jesus in that amazing section of Scripture, we've quoted it a lot over these last 9 weeks, Jesus was saying, when you fail to help the poor and visit the sick and as well visit those in prison, he says, you've done it unto the least of these and you have done it unto me ultimately. It says this, I was in prison and you came to me, Jesus says. And so when we care for those who are in prison, those who have been falsely accused and are doing the work of God, and we pray for them and we support them in tangible ways that I'll share in just a few minutes, we are doing it unto Christ. When we have an unless attitude, we're doing it unto Christ. We must realize that. How about Colossians 4:18? The Apostle Paul imprisoned for the cause of the gospel. This is what he says at the back end of his letter to the church at Colossae. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Now, it's important he's saying that because later on he wouldn't be doing it by his own hand because his eyesight started going. We know Dr. Luke was with him at some point in his missionary journeys. He says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. And grace be to you. Remember me. And this is in the heart of him saying, be praying for me while I'm in prison. Don't forget me as I am laboring for the cause of Christ. And then the verse that we will highlight this morning together, and we will spend the rest of our time in, just this one verse. Don't forget about those in prison, Hebrews 13:3 says. Suffer with them as though you were there yourself. Share the sorrow of those being mistreated as though you feel their pain in your own bodies. Hebrews 13, for the sake of time, let me just share with you the context without reading all of the scriptures there from verses 1 through 9 as you find your place there in your notes and in your scriptures, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 through 9, primarily deals with how to effectively and accurately draw close to God, how to worship God and bring Him honor, how to walk with God. In fact, in the early Christian church, that was a way that they referred to their relationship with God. Two ways, their walk and the way. You would say that I belong to the way. You had to talk like that because listening ears wanted to find out who to kill for following Christ, who they just killed and crucified and rose from the dead. And so you talked like that, I belong to the way. Or my walk with God, my walk with Christ. Hebrews 13 is a lot of good information, but written with the intent for application, which will lead to transformation in our lives. Talks about being a faithful spouse. Talks about managing our resources. And guess what? Talks about caring for prisoners. And so I want to look at this verse closely this morning, and I want to pick apart how to care for a prisoner. Take notice of the first part of this verse. It says, don't forget about those in prison. I would like to think of this as a command because in the Greek language, it's written in an emphatic language, in the emphatic tense, rather, of the Greek language. This is not a suggestion. It's not recommended. It's commanded. We're commanded to not forget the prisoner. Now, we have a hard time with that because we tell people we're going to pray for them and we forget to do it. In fact, a good thing to do when you get home today is, God, bring back to mind all the people I told I was going to pray for and I haven't prayed for them yet because I don't want to be reminded of that when I stand before you in heaven. We need to remember the things of God and we need to remember to care for the prisoner. And so there are certain things that we need to understand today, that we live in an evil world still today. The world has always been evil. The world will always be evil. We live in a world today that actually is more aggressive than ever before in wanting to rub out the Christian faith. Even as we sit here comfortably this morning, the Islamic group known as ISIS has waged an all-out war against Christians. And they don't want it to stop in Iraq. They want to take it to America, to New York. We must pray against this. We must pray, not play nice. Pray for God's judgment upon them now. And there is nothing wrong with praying that way. There is nothing wrong with praying for the safety of our soldiers, of our men and women who leave their families to protect our freedom, to pray for their spouses. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, why do I say that? Because we live in a culture lately that has forgotten the values of that which America was founded on, has forgotten, even though we might say it once in a while, but has forgotten how blessed we are to have the armed forces that we have, how blessed we are to live where we are. And so as alerts get risen around the world, we must also raise something in our life. And so we care for prisoners by raising our awareness. Write that down. We have to raise our awareness. That's what it means not to forget. It means we're aware. When we do forget, we're oblivious. We have a zero awareness rating. Now, I'm still a kid at heart, as you know, as you could tell by my boyish looks, but how many of you like to play sport video games? It's okay to raise your hand if you're a grown-up, please. Okay? All right, some of you are lying right now. Thank you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Now, I love, you know, the Madden football games. I've been playing them for years. Now, a lot of times when you look at these games, you know, they're awesome. And then years ago, they came out with that you can make your own players. And I made myself one time in the games, you know. And you can literally draft how you look and the whole bit. But there's this one particular setting that is very important to when you play the games. It's the player's awareness. And the higher the awareness of a player, the better the player. Even if the player has great speed or great accuracy, if his awareness is low, it affects his performance on the field. Can I share with you something? God has saved you and I to have a 100 rating on our awareness. He hasn't saved us to walk around oblivious to things. He hasn't saved you and I to be oblivious to the problems in our own home, in our own community, in our own church, and around the world. He has saved you and I to have a 100 rating on our awareness. It's important to realize that. And that's why it says this command, don't forget about the prisoners. Now, there's several ways we do that. First of all, pursue. Notice this in your notes. Pursue information about the persecuted Christians. I want to encourage you to, when on your free time, to go to Voice of Martyrs. Research that, persecution.com. Voice of Martyrs is the ultimate custodian, and they put all the information of that site. But persecution.com, and you will find a lot of on-the-mark, true information about the persecuted church today. You could also go and research Fox's Book of Martyrs, a book that was written and tells you in great detail. You know, so much information. I don't have time to go through it all. I want to focus on this scripture here, but I will read some things today. Pursue information. It's important that you and I become aware. We raise the awareness. Now, why is that important? Because if I'm unaware, say, for example, if you're going through something, I'm unaware of it, I can't be praying for it. But if I'm aware of something you're going through, then I could be praying for it. So the next thing that how you and I raise our awareness is pray. Pray. Now, usually, some of us, our prayers are just, Lord, help me not get, I went through the light on Richmond and Arthur Kill, help me not to get a ticket. And Lord, it'd be great if I can hit this lotto tonight. It's $40 million. I'll do this, I'll do that. Please, put those aside. Pray for those being persecuted, falsely accused, or criminals who are in need of salvation. Pray. You might have a relative that's connected to any of these three areas right now. Pray. You want to transform your prayer life? I'm going to save you about $100. No need to go to a conference. I'm going to save you $20. I'm just saving everybody money today. You don't buy a book on prayer. Just do what Jesus says with prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That means pray for daily needs. You could spend the rest of your life praying for daily needs. And this is a daily need. This is not a want. There are those who are facing execution as we speak. There are those who need our prayers. There are those who need you and I to be praying for their families as they are beheaded, to pray for their children who are now orphans. There are those who are willingly going to their death, being crucified. And these sick people are putting videos on the internet. We need to pray for these people, and pray for God's judgment upon those. Pray. You know, sometimes we get upset if we get a stain on our favorite shirt. Sometimes we get upset. Somebody said this and somebody did that. We got to grow a thicker skin. And we got to realize there are a lot higher stakes than what we wear and this and that and the other thing. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. But we'll never know what to pray for if we don't know any information. Pray. And another thing is, Christians need to stop fighting with each other all the time. Stop teaching false teachings and drawing people away from the cross. We're the only army that shoots our own men. We need to pray for those who are being persecuted. We need to cut the nonsense around the United States of America and realize the blessing we hold in our hand. Pray, and then participate. Participate by helping prisoners. And on the back end, I'm going to share why that's important. There's always been a history of this, not just today. Let me read you a quick story. During China's Boxer Rebellion of 1900, insurgents captured a mission station. Then they blocked all the gates but one. And in front of one gate, they placed a cross flat on the ground. They laid this big cross on the ground. And then word was passed to those inside that anyone who trampled the cross under their feet would be permitted to have their freedom and their life, but that any refusing would be shot by the firing squad immediately. No trial. Completely unjust. Terribly frightened, the first seven students trampled the cross under their feet and were allowed to go free. But the eighth student, a young girl, refused to commit what she deemed as a sacrilegious act to dishonor Jesus Christ. Kneeling, not trampling, kneeling beside the cross in prayer for strength, she arose and moved carefully around the cross and went out and faced the firing squad. Now, strengthened by her example, every one of the remaining 92 students followed her to the firing squad. Wow. That's awareness. Unwilling to trample the cross. You and I have been called never to trample the cross. The Apostle Paul said when he was instructing the Corinthians on communion, he said, "Let us do this in remembrance of him. Let a man and woman examine himself, lest we be guilty of the blood of Christ." You know, to trample the cross is the equivalent of taking the American flag and burning it, desecrating it, and stepping on it. What it does, it disrespects those who are in uniform and died for our freedom, those who are veterans, and those who are currently in uniform. And it's so important that we educate our children on the importance of respecting men and women in uniform. How that is a very important fabric of our nation. And we pray that God would raise up in the years to come leadership who will restore the nation to these types of ideals and these types of principles. I think that at first it might be met with opposition, but I think our country is hungry to rally around godly principles. I think it's hungry. I think people are hungry for that. I think a time is coming. I'm praying for God to raise up the next Joseph and David and Daniels of our time, the next Ruths of our time, the next Esthers of our time that will stand up on godly principle and have an awareness from Almighty God from above, remembering that it's God who sits on the throne and it's God who holds the heart of the kings of this world in his very hand. Care for prisoners by raising our awareness. Secondly and finally, before we close, care for prisoners by taking meaningful action. What good is all these sermons? What good is all these prayers if we don't put feet to them? What good is all these songs that we sing if we don't believe in the one true and living God? What good is all the offerings we give? What good is all the time we spend in church if we don't apply that which Jesus Christ has said? If we don't take seriously what the apostles have reported? If we don't hear from the church, early church fathers? If we don't stand in the gap? In our prayer time before service today with some of the prayer ministers, I was reminded by one of our brothers that in the early church, those who would be in prison for the cause of Christ, when their family or friends would go visit them, obeying that which this says, what Christ said, when they went in, they didn't just go in for a 30-minute visit. Guess what? When they went in, knowing this, they didn't come out. When they went to take food to those who were in prison, they didn't come out. When they went to take blankets because they were cold, they didn't come out. They were placed beside them and sometimes even killed. When we're told not to forget, we're not even scraping the tip of the iceberg as to what others have went through. We've been called to pursue information, to pray, and to participate. And that hopefully turns into meaningful action. Look what Hebrews 13:3 says, "Suffer with them as though you were there yourself." There's a difference between giving a sympathy card and being sympathy to someone. Big difference. We've been called not to just send out sympathy cards. We haven't been called just to be pen pals with those who are suffering. We've been called to go. We've been called to pray. We've been called to give. We've been called to serve. We've been called to care. Suffer with them as though you were there yourself. When you pray, close your eyes. Envision how it would be for you not to see your family. Envision how it would be for you not to forget about gas in your car. You don't have a car. You don't have a home. Envision the freedoms that you have. Thank God for them. Go home today and kneel. Open your refrigerator. Children, don't complain anymore. Go home and thank God that you have a home and you have parents. Even if they dress funny, don't worry about that. Thank God you have your family. Thank God you have someone in your life. You know, gratitude is the enemy of depression. We don't need more. We just need to evaluate what we do have already and be thankful for, realizing that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are being violated for the same faith we have a privilege to worship. But we take action. We take action by internalizing it, not trivializing it. Internalize what's going on. Share the sorrow of those being, now the scripture is going to make clear, those being mistreated. By the way, this is talking about prisoners of the faith, prisoners of persecution. Those being mistreated, not only are they in prison, they're being beaten. You know, there are many honorable things you and I can do in this life. But being a prisoner for Christ, like being a prisoner for war, what an honor to suffer as Christ suffered. As Christ was subjected to 6 unjust trials, as I told you. Check this out. The King of the universe, the sovereign God, subjected himself to 6 unjust trials in which he was beaten at several of them. For you and I, how much more should we care for those who are following in his footsteps? It says, share the sorrow. When someone dies in someone's family, we don't just say, call me if you need me. Go be there. Shut up and show up. That's usually the principle that we like to encourage people to do. We need not to just look at things from the peripheral. We need to internalize it. And we need to share. This is the same Greek word that's used in Galatians, to carry one another's burdens, to share. It's that same idea, to put that burden on my shoulders and your shoulders as believers. as though you feel their pain in your own bodies. You got a body too. What if you were being whipped like Paul was? What if you were beaten, being punched? What if your family was being brutalized right in front of you? How would you? You got a body, the Paul says in Hebrews. You have a body. How would you feel? As we watch the news, pause it and pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. It don't matter what party anybody's in. Somebody needs to run for a new party, you know, the Christian party, I think. There are a lot of Christians in the United States. A lot of them go to church, obviously. Some don't go to church. They need to get back to church. But there are a lot of believers in our nation. And we need to join in prayer and pray for our country. Pray for the godly principles that our country was founded on. There are lots of other religions that are present in America, and we all want to play nice and respect. But I don't care what anybody says. We make no mistake about it. This nation was founded on Christian principles. And this nation is greatly blessed because of those principles, because we support Israel. Principles like that. And we must not sway. We care this way. Now, here are some tangible ways for you and I to care. Like I have throughout this entire series, I want to make these recommendations. I want to light a fire under somebody, under somebody's blessed assurance. And I would love for somebody to step up and become a leader of our, we'll call it our persecution ministry. And there are things that we can do. And I want to tell you about one thing that Voice of the Martyrs will allow us to partner with them doing. And I want to do it as a church. It's called Action Packs. These action packs, you could fill them. And it costs $7 for the pack, and then throw in another $3 for an even 10 for shipping. And for $10, you can get an action pack and fill it with needy items such as soap, a windbreaker, a towel. These are all things we have. We might have several of them, by the way. A box of pens. Colored pencils. A light sweater. They say even put a photo of you, and then they send this overseas. And so we go, I got to put a photo of my family. What if they capture it and find it? They come to me. Let me make you this promise right now. Somebody comes to you and wants to threaten your faith, you better believe the Italian Rambo and me will come out as your pastor and protect you. Okay? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, okay? You know, we'll remember, we'll go read the scriptures of David and how what David did. David was a man of war. We'll remember that. Fact of the matter is this is a great way to love those families who their loved ones are in prison for Christ. And so if you would like to do that today, all you got to do on your connection card, now I want to draw more of your attention to the connection card each week. You need to be using that. You could fill out your information, by the way, legibly. We don't have any FBI handwriting experts on staff yet. Legibly, keyword. Legibly write your information, and then on the back in the prayer section, right, I want to contribute to an action pack. But we're not going to buy the action pack unless we have the money to do it. So it's only $7, and you could put that in addition to your regular offering today. Just put that on your notes, included in my offering, or bringing next week, whatever. We're going to give it online, whatever. But I want you to do that individually as a family. I need exercise as a family. And once we get the packs, we'll announce it to the church that they're in, and you and your family could fill one action pack, a great thing to do as an exercise as a family. Or as an individual to contribute to this. And more on that. And if you want information, legibly write your information, and we will email you this week about that. And then Colombian parachutes. This is a very interesting outreach. A man by the name of Russell purchased a plane, and he's flying over in Colombia, over this Marxist nation of Colombia, this part of Colombia. They're flying packets of information and parachuting them out. Portions of the scripture and other Christian information, and a Christian radio, solar-powered, that's turned to the Christian station, that when it drops, they can immediately get the message literally. And if you're interested in something like that, just put, it's right in your notes, you could put Colombian parachutes on your connection card as well, and we'll give you information on how you could do that individually, and how we can, as a church, say that we sent out, there's a lot of people that come to our church who listen online, who come on Sundays, or come every other Sunday, whatever. There's lots of people, we can send out a lot of action packs. And maybe we could drop a lot of help drop a lot of parachutes. But these are tangible ways. Next, I want to recommend that we launch a prison ministry. Part of doing having a prison care attitude is caring for those who have committed crimes who need Christ. Now, obviously, some people need to face what their punishment is. They need to stay right where they are. We understand that. But there are some, maybe even you, who do your time and you've been rehabilitated. There are some who need to stay right where they are, and they could be ministered to in their cell. Fact of the matter is that God has called us to have a heart and take the gospel. Perhaps have transition classes at church so people don't go back committing the same crimes. Teach them about Christ and about being people of integrity. And then how about Angel Tree Project? Our church did that a couple of years back. This is a way to help. You know, just because a mother or father's in prison doesn't mean the kid's got to suffer. We can give gifts to children. You can adopt a child during Christmas time and give a gift to a kid who doesn't have any gifts for Christmas because their parents are in prison. Lots of different creative ways, and we encourage you to do so. Now, why is all this important? Because ultimately, my friends, Christ died for you and I. Christ set us free from our prison. And if he has set us free from our prison of sin, and if we're free in Christ, we used to be slaves to sin, but we are free, how much should we live a life of gratitude and care for the least of these, all the least of these that we have talked about? And then let me go a step further. If there are those running to serve Christ overseas and being in prison for the cause of Christ, why would we waste any time going back to sin and going into a sinful prison if Christ has set us free and there are those giving their life to tell others about this message so they could be free? Why would any of us waste time and not be about the cause of Christ? You know, Matthew West, father's a pastor, is a Christian recording artist, and I've met Matthew. He's a good guy. I love his songs. They're very real. And he has this song called Do Something. It is an awesome song. You know, I want to invite Matthew to come here one day, and if he does, I'll preach one of my unless messages. We'll go on tour together. The song says this. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for those who know me a long time. There's enough people playing hooky today. We don't want to lose any more for the night service, okay? I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now. Thought, how we ever get so far down? How's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? And then he said back to me, I did. I created you. The chorus goes on, if not us, then who? If not me and you? Right now, it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? Will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do something. It's time for us It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. I'm so tired of talking about how we are God's hands and feet, but it's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy who tell ourselves it's all right, someone else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm going to do something. Then he goes on to say, we are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill. But we're never going to change the world by standing still. And then repeatedly it says, no, we won't stand still. No, we won't stand still. No, we won't stand still. If not us, then who? If not me and you. Right now, it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? We will see an end to all this pain. It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. God has called us to have an unless attitude, to stand up and to do something. to get up on our feet and to give, to serve. Why do we give? We give to establish a ministry so that it could share the gospel of Jesus Christ locally. Why do we give? We give so we have an endowment in our missions so that we could support missionaries and work around the world. You and I have been called to do something. Why do we give? Why do we serve? Why do we pray? Because God created us and He saved us to have an unless attitude. Now, not that we do it for this reason, but you know what cures a lifetime of blues? Caring for the things that God cares for. You know what helps you stop going crazy because everybody in your family might be driving you crazy? Focus on the things that God wants you to focus on. That's the best medicine around. That will help your heart so much. You know, when I'm having a down day or people are annoying me and there's a drama going on, you know what helps me? Not a trip down to the tavern to get a refill. Well, I didn't get one in the beginning, but don't worry. Before the problem started. But not let me go buy something. Let me go numb the pain. Let me go be with sheep. Let me go be with people. There's just something about that. And I think that those who have laid down their life like our Lord did understood that. And I want to close. You may have heard this before. I know I've read it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But it's the statement of a young African pastor who was martyred for Christ. And this statement was found in his papers in Zimbabwe. And I close with this statement for the Unless series. This is what this pastor said, this missionary, right before he was killed for Christ. I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, or back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, and smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, and cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, care for prosperity, position, promotions, or platitudes, or popularity. I don't have to be right, or first, or tops, or recognized, or praised, or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lifted by prayer, and I labor by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. There's another part for this, and I'm going to save it for next week when we kick off our new teaching series on Blueprint, Discovering God's Plan, and we talk about living a dedicated life to God. No greater way to live your life than to be dedicated to God by having an awareness for the things that God is concerned about, especially for those in prison for the cause of Christ, and then taking meaningful action. Let us care for the orphan. Let us care for the widow. Let us care for the poor. Let us care for those who are skeptical on the outside who need Christ. Let us care for those who are incapable. Let us care for those who are in prison. Let us care for these beautiful young girls who are being human trafficked all around the world. Let us care like Christ. Let it be said of us that we did something. Let it be said of us that we didn't just fill a pew. We didn't waste our time complaining. That our contributions far outweighed our complaining. And that we were about the cause of Christ in our lifetime. That is Christianity. If you believe that, say amen. No greater way to live than to be sacrificial for the one who is sacrificial for you and I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who laid down His life for my sins and your sins, and on the third day rose from the dead, that who shall ever believeth in Him should have eternal life. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the cross. We thank You that You are the ultimate giver, the ultimate sacrificer. And we thank You for those who have laid down their life for us. We thank you, oh God, for the men, women, and children of God that are being persecuted by ISIS. We pray for ISIS to be destroyed, God. We pray for their reign of terror to end. Lord, we pray, God, for our shores to be protected now. We pray for every school to be protected. We pray against biological warfare, nuclear warfare, God. We pray against those who might even be dirty, God, who are playing for the other team. We pray for those, God, who right now are plotting evil, God, against our nation. We pray, oh God, for you, God, to lay them down like you did to Goliath. We pray for there to be a powerful swing, oh God, and for you to drop the forces of evil that have come against your people and your church. Lord, we thank you for those who have humbly refused to renounce their faith, much like the early church in Rome, who were willing to be fed to lions. These people would not give up and surrender their faith in you. Lord, let us draw strength from that, that we can face our problems today. Let us be reminded of so great a God who protects so great a salvation. Let us cut the nonsense, cut out the fat, and let us be about the church, the gospel. Let us lay aside the sins and the burdens that so easily entangle us, and let us run the race with endurance, remembering Jesus Christ and that which he has done. And let it be said of us that we have run the race and we have fought the fight. Let us pray for those and participate. Oh God, we thank you, oh God, for what you have done and for what's to come. And we pray, oh God, these prayers, believing you, trusting in you, oh God. And we commit them in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.